And welcome back. If you're just joining us, we are Talking Trees, like we do the second Saturday of the month. And the 8 o'clock hour, our outdoor living hour here at Rosie on the House. And Sarah Maitland from Save a Tree has brought in guest Amy Esposito, Executive Director of Trees Matter. And Amy, I was clicking through your website during the break, and this one tab has the Resiliency Project. Talk to us about what y'all have put together there.
Yeah, so during the pandemic, our board came together and decided we wanted to do something to honor those who've been impacted by the pandemic. And so we decided to plant 100 trees in South Phoenix. It's in a 20-acre lot called Spaces of Opportunity near, it's part of the Roosevelt School District. And so we worked with Tiger Mountain Foundation, and throughout the last year, we planted 100 trees. Now, what we need to do next is we have a form on our site, and I'd encourage anyone who's wants to honor someone who's been impacted to fill out that form. You go to treesmatter.org/100trees, and you can, it's free to anybody who signs up, and you can share the name and any other information you want, and we'll be printing out wooden tags that will hang off of these 100 trees so that as these trees grow, we have a living memorial. And what's exciting is that we'll be putting a fabrication of a sign up, and there'll be a link or a QR code to a website so people can continue to add on folks. But it gives us a way to recognize those that have been impacted while, you know, sharing the benefits of the future and honoring those. Honoring our community and in a way that that's really special for a lot of people. We've already gotten a lot of really amazing submissions, and we'll be doing a commemoration in January.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. What kind of trees did you plant?
Well, it's a working community garden and farm. So we asked them what they wanted. So there's a bunch of farmers and gardeners, and there's even a farmer's market there, and it's free and open to the public, so there's no barrier to come in and to see what's going on, and it's such an amazing place. But they really wanted a lot of food-bearing trees, so we did a lot of pomegranates, figs, a bunch of different citrus trees. It's on a flood-acre lot, so it was appropriate for what type of water there was there. And then we also added some carob trees, which do provide food, but they also are big shade trees that were needed because a lot of them need some more shade.
That was a recent tree of the month here, the carob tree. That is
the
a really neat.
Chocolatey smelling one.
Really neat tree.
Yeah, when you pull it off when it's ready, the pod, and you chew on it, it tastes kind of like a Tootsie Roll. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so that's treesmatter.org/100trees. 100 trees to nominate somebody and get more information about the Resiliency Project.
Yeah, and it's 100 trees.
100. Yeah. Don't type out 100.
Yeah.
It's a numeric 100.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, so we'd love to have whomever wants to participate. And some people have asked, do you need to be from Maricopa or South Phoenix? We're really opening it up to anybody. So even if you're listening from a different city that's not in Maricopa County, we'd love to have you submit.
treesmatter.org/100trees. Sarah, let's talk composting and mulch.
Oh, wow. This is a good time to get some mulch out. You know, I'm a fan of fresh mulch, fresh tree mulch. But a lot of times it's hard for us to drop tree mulch because it's got all kinds of prickers in it from mesquites and palaverdes and stuff like that. But fresh mulch is really great for your trees. It helps to decompose over time and add organic matter to the soil. But it also helps to regulate temperatures, even cold temperatures. So we're probably going to get into some cold temperatures this year, I hope. But mulch is really, really good. It just adds that really nice layer underneath the tree, and you can almost feel the tree saying, "Oh, thank you."
And when you say fresh mulch, are you saying like just cut tree cuttings, or are you talking about wood?
There's a couple of different things. You can get just mulch in bags from the garden center. You can get bulk mulch from some of the different rock centers. We'll just drop a couple yards in your driveway. I prefer the fresh mulch. but I have access to it. But I also create my own too. And so that's kind of where you get into composting.
And there is a service called Chip Drop that John's mentioned. Farmer Greg's mentioned it.
Yeah.
I signed up again for it where I live. There must not be any arborists where I live because I've been on the waiting list for like 3 years and I still haven't gotten any, any chip dropped yet. But if you live more in town in a metropolitan area, what you can do is you can go there, put in your address, and when a arborist has a load, instead of taking that chipped tree matter and taking it to the landfill, they can just come drop it at your house. Now, it's not sorted. You'd have no control over color, texture. It was just whatever was on their tree route that day cutting it. The landscape yards, like you were talking about, they have different colors and different, you know, mulches will have different names based on chip density.
They do. But those yards still have regular compost and regular mulch. And what I do for my customers is, you know, if they want a load, I schedule so that the truck is full when it comes to their house the next day. You know, I put them in the schedule so it works out so they get their loads. And we try to accommodate as much as we can.
It's a big truckload. My neighbor got some, and I helped them. It took like five of us. It's a lot of mulch. So, but I'm sure Sarah and I can hook you up if you need some mulch.
Yeah, I actually used my quad and a wagon and dragged it around all my trees. Yeah.
Last spring, we had two semi-loads of mulch delivered. And after about two weekends of wheelbarrowing it, and the heat coming, because this was about May. I thought, man, this is going to take me all summer. We went and got a skid steer in 6 hours. We had it done.
Nice. So you just got to hire the kids.
Oh, the kids love skid steer. Yeah. I didn't even have to Tom Sawyer. I mean, they were in line to drive the skid steer and take it all around.
Oh, how fun is that? But, you know, you can collect up just the debris around your shrubs in your yard, and you can start compost piles. You know, the debris you collect will decompose.
I think the show is Back to Eden. John has talked about a few times just about the forest, and, you know, it's you never pick up leaves in the forest. It's constantly building up, and you know the in our yards we pick everything up and we take it away. Then we have to add all these fertilizers and amendments, and it's just, you know, if you just let it drop and do its own thing and not pick it up, it kind of manages itself a little
better. Well, when I worked commercial, I used to encourage the HOAs to just kind of blow it into the groups of shrubs, but it becomes a little bit unsightly. And for a manicured lawn and for decomposed granite. And there's a lot of really good nutrients that can be applied to supplement, you know, what nature can't give you sometimes. What we recommend with a lot of trees is just fall fertilization, spring fertilization, three times a year on the citrus, you know.
And that citrus fertilizing, you know, that's, we've kind of passed that for this year. I mean, there's no really set time. I mean, you could really fertilize any time, but there's distinct holidays that we use in Arizona for citrus fertilizing.
Yeah, and really best to get yourself on a three times a year program because it's balanced to give your trees the nutrient they need to go through the whole season. A little less nitrogen in the summer, and so that's what we do for citrus. Right now, I have a lot of trees that just didn't do that well over the last 2 years. We had this really hard monsoon and a lot of rain, but there was 2 years of stress. And so just getting that arbor kelp out that's nutrient that helps the soil help the tree, that's a really good product for fall fertilization.
And looking through your list here on the composting recipe, there's a combine equal parts of brown and green.
Yes, this is John's recipe, so we should have him calling in and talking to us about this. But there is a percentage that you're supposed to use. Do you know, Amy, what it is? I know that you just have to have a mixture. And if you collect up your regular stuff, then it's a mixture.
Yeah, I actually don't self-compost. I have a company that comes and picks up my food waste and brings me compost when I need. But I do have a lot of gardening friends that do that sort of recipe, and they have a way to shift the compost and all of that. But I'm less familiar on that special recipe.
You want to get a nice area in your yard where you can spread it out so it's wide enough, and you keep piling on top, but you want to be able to turn it, and it kind of cooks in there, and it decomposes and becomes a compost. And I always add my eggshells and my coffee grounds and any vegetable scraps and things like that. Just got to be careful of animals, you know, so...
I have a question, Sarah. Does mulching help with providing more, less compacted soil over time?
Absolutely, absolutely. It helps to increase, it adds to the aggregation of the soil. The particles, it mixes in with the soil particles, adds aeration and areas porous for water and air. So
yeah, and just to explain, tree roots don't like compaction, and so we want to make sure there's a lot of access to oxygen and water. And so when the soil is compacted, right, that gives less opportunity for that water and
oxygen. And our soils are kind of naturally compacted because they're kind of high in clay, which is a really small particle. But so mulch just really helps to add to that organic matter in the soil.
That's why you don't see more trees in parking lots that are monstrous. You know, I think the lifespan for a tree in a parking lot in Arizona, I believe, is 8 years.
Well,
you know, the constant driving and compaction on it, and you know, everyone wants to park on it. Well, there's more weight. In Louisiana, at the LSU Stadium, they've got all these live oaks. They won't let you park, you know, I mean, you want to park under shade. They won't let any cars underneath it, and there's even areas that you can't get right up to the trunk, just protecting the tree against the crowd compaction.
In Arizona, our temperatures get 140, 160 degrees in that pavement, so the roots just don't get out there and grow very well.
not conditions conducive for a tree canopy.
Correct, but I look for shade in a parking lot all the time.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Well, and then what else are you going to do? You can't just have dirt parking lots everywhere. We're complaining about blowing dust constantly. So,
yes.
You know, there's a reason it's paved. But, yeah, not the environment we're trying to create in our homes and on our properties with our trees. And we've got one segment here with Sarah Maitland and special guest from Trees Matter, Amy Esposito.